biggest fear as a speaker is that that little light's going to be green when you're singing. If I got the memo correctly, I heard there's a little football game on this afternoon, and it got me thinking about the beginning of the NFL season. If you recall, the first 3 or 4 weeks, the games were refereed by substitute refs. The regular referees were on strike, and it was kind of a mess during that time frame. As some of you may remember, a picture that encapsulates the last play of one of the Monday night games where two referees standing literally 4 feet apart called two totally separate calls. One guy said it was an interception. One guy said it was a touchdown for a new word called an inter-touchdownception. I think that's, yeah. And they were the butt of a lot of jokes, and it was kind of a crazy time. Of an estimated $200 million of gambling money went the wrong way that night because the call was not the correct one. And I think they successfully lowered the standard forever for anyone who serves in a substitute capacity, which makes me feel good today as a substitute. But I tell you what, if you've been here the last 6 weeks, if I've counted correctly, we've had 9 men from the congregation who've given lessons here on Sunday morning, and I say thank you to them because they've successfully raised the standard for those who serve in a substitute capacity. And I'm thankful for the opportunity that the elders have let me be one of the 10 and one of many more to come, I'm sure. And I'm thankful for Alan that he is going to take a larger role going forward in the efforts here. If we can learn anything from his passion and zeal, he's the guy to do it. I'd like to welcome you once again this morning, especially if you're visiting with us. We have a good crowd with us today. I hope that our time together will be beneficial. When coming up with a lesson topic, I kind of joke with the guys sometimes, that's sometimes the hardest part of the lesson. And I think back a few weeks ago when Chris Moore was bringing us a lesson and he referenced the word tablet and he was talking about one of these. He works at Intel. It kind of makes sense. Well, today if I reference the word tablet, I'm going to be talking about one of these. It kind of makes sense based on my job. I'm going to talk to you today about a word that's not found in the Bible, and that's not something that you'd hear very often coming from the pulpit, but I think what this word means to us and how pervasive it is through our daily walk of life, it's one of the biggest words that we could talk about, and that word is adherence. I like the parables of Jesus because they're easy to remember, and they're meaningful, and they stick with me. If I'm out pulling weeds in the yard, my mind goes to the parable of the sower, and I go, man, I hope my heart's not like this horrible ground here that's got weeds in it. I hope that I am more of a fertile soil kind of a guy. If I'm packing for a camping trip and I'm getting my propane tanks together, I think about the parable of the wedding feast where half the people had their oil and half the people didn't, and I think about preparedness, even with an everyday activity like that. So today I hope to do the same thing for you and trigger a spiritual thought out of something that you may do on a fairly regular basis. So that thought sticks with you days or months or even years from now. So what I need for us to do today is to consider our spirituality as if it were a medical condition, which I don't think really is too far of a stretch. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 asks us to examine ourselves as to whether we're in the faith. So today I'll kind of take that to mean let's test our spiritual health this morning. The reality is that non-adherence may in fact be killing us. But none of us want that. We all desire to be healthy. So let's look at some things together this morning. The first section is going to lay the groundwork for understanding what adherence means to us as we look at the definitions and consequences of our behaviors. From the perspective of medicine, adherence means that we take our maintenance medications 4 out of every 5 days. That's widely accepted as being compliant or adherence to therapy. An estimated half of everyone who takes a medication is not above that 80%. It's kind of mind-boggling if you think about it. Before I go too much further, I'll put a disclaimer out there that I'm a pharmacist, but I'm not a pill pusher. I don't wake up every morning saying, here, Drew, here, Brenna, here's your spoonful of pills that you're going to be safe today. That's I'm not going that far. Sometimes when you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. But I also don't think that medicines are inherently bad. And so today, play along and presume that if you're on a maintenance medication for chronic conditions, which medications can help you manage, that's kind of what we're talking about today. A decent definition of what I think of when I think of spiritual adherence is to hold closely or firmly, steady or faithful attachment to the gospel, to be consistent and devoted in my support and allegiance to Christ. Passages such as Romans 12, verse 9, tell us to cling to what is good. In fact, the root word of cling is the same root word that adhere comes from. Very similar idea. To hold tight, to cling to what is good. Now, we can't put a formula to what our spiritual adherence may look like, so it may be best demonstrated by having each of us individually answer some questions this morning on some of the following practical things that we encounter. And when we look at our own level of adherence, sometimes the tendency is to overestimate our results. In fact, studies show that the poorer our actual adherence, so if we're way below that 80%, for instance, the difference in the gap between what we think we do and what we really do is even larger. So let's just be honest when we look in the mirror. And these questions should get our minds just started, just a place to start. So we refer to spiritual adherence throughout the rest of our talk this morning. We kind of have a framework that we're on the same page. Have you made it to all Sunday services this year? Do you take any notes at church? Do you ever review those notes later when you're at home? Have you ever shared those notes or talked about those notes with someone else? Have you visited or prepared a meal for those in need? Have you purchased outside study material lately? Do you act the same among your worldly friends as you do with your Christian friends? Have you attended other gospel meetings or singings this year? Did you attend each night of our own gospel meeting? Did you read your Bible every day last week? Have you recently handed out any Bible tracts? Do you sing out loud with the congregation, or do you just mumble through the words? Do you pray every day? Do you prepare for classes before attending? When you travel, do you try your best to attend services? Do you read the Bible to your children? Do you attend and actively participate in the church work groups? Have you ever given someone a ride to services who needs one? What kind of impact does your presence have on other Christians and non-Christians? Are you a demonstration of love and friendship? Are we focused while we're in worship, or do we feel like we're just punching our ticket? When was the last time you had people in your home? What were you thinking about during the Lord's Supper some 10, 15 minutes ago? Are you dependable? Do you flirt with sin to see how worldly you can become without completely falling away? I counted them. Those are 25 questions. We could probably ask 325 questions, but you kind of get the point. There's adherence has far-reaching effects. It means more than what happens inside these four walls. Adherence, we're going to talk about, is how we live our lives. Does anyone score 100% on that test? I don't know, maybe if you did, that's more than awesome. But don't be discouraged if you didn't. I certainly didn't. It just highlights that we can always strive to get better. So why is adherence so important? From a medical perspective, we know that our health can remain at a high level, and there's a tremendous amount of cost savings in the healthcare system that can be achieved if we stick to our medical treatments. It's estimated that $100 billion, that's billion with a B, it's wild, could be saved annually just based on the number of unnecessary hospitalizations that occur because people are admitted because they didn't stick to their medical treatment. So non-adherence has huge consequences. From a spiritual perspective, nothing tells me about the benefits of adherence more than some positive if-then statements that we find in the Bible. And the Bible's full of them, so for this slide, we'll call the Bible an iffy book. Revelation 2, verse 10, "If you are faithful unto death, then I will give you the crown of life." 18th verse of Isaiah 48, "If you would have heeded my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river." 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. So heaven, peace, fellowship, just a few of the many benefits of adherence to the narrow way. And there's a flip side to that coin as well. You know, medically speaking, we just talked about the cost savings associated with adherence. There's obviously the progression of disease states that could be prevented if we're non-adherent. And so spiritually, we'll do well to recall some of the negative if-then statements that we find in the Bible, because they're just as powerful as the positive ones that we just read. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, if we love the world, then the love of the Father is not in us. Deuteronomy 8:19, if you forget the Lord your God, then you shall perish. That was part of the Bible reading this morning, the scripture reading this morning. In John chapter 15, verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, then they will be cast out as a branch and burned in the fire. And in Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 to 19, the last warning we have in the entire Bible, and a good one it is, if anyone adds to or takes away from the Bible, then they'll be removed from the book of life. This is a good time to consider Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 to 43. I'll read it to you. It's a familiar passage to us. It's a picture of the judgment scene. And in that passage, the Lord says, then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. I can almost hear someone in a surprised voice who's hearing that said to him say, you know, the fact that I went to church, I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, I didn't cuss, I didn't gamble, I didn't tell dirty jokes, I don't. That's not enough to enter heaven? There's more to our spiritual adherence than just sticking to a list of thou shalt nots. We often don't think about sins of omission keeping us out of heaven, but this passage tells us that they most certainly will. Those on the right hand were busy doing. I'll call them adherent. And we should be too. If you listen to Alan's radio program this morning, he talked to us, if you're hearers only and not doing, if you're not like the people on the right hand, you're all but deluding yourselves. But with the importance of adherence now hopefully planted firmly in our mind, then why in the world would we ever be non-adherent? This is kind of where it gets a little interesting. My employer surveyed tens of thousands of people and asked them why they didn't take their medication regularly. They discovered that only 15% of the people had clinical reasons that they weren't adherent to their therapy. Clinical meaning maybe a side effect causing them to stop taking it, or they believed that their medication wasn't helping them, or something to that effect. Only 16% had real adherence issues due to cost. Far and away, the number one barrier to adherence, coming in at 69%, were behavioral issues. Forgetting, procrastinating, things that happen to us. I'm the type of guy who starts looking for a gas station as soon as my tank gets below 3/8, so I've probably got my own issues on the hoarding side of things, but I certainly don't understand running out of a medication that's keeping you alive. I don't get it. But 39% of the people just forgot to take their medication. 10% forgot to refill their medication when they had refills remaining. Just the bottle was empty and just sat there for a few days or a week. And 20% who their prescription had expired and was out of refills altogether were delayed getting a new prescription to start over again. So the main reason that we forget things is human attention is just an incredibly scarce resource. Our brains have incredible processing power, but our working memory or our short-term memory has a very finite capacity, and we usually put our limited attention to things that are either pressing or pleasurable, and that's about it. The rest of it switches to autopilot. We're kind of wired for inattention and inertia, which explains why I can look at my seat number 6 times before I get on an airplane, and as I'm sitting down, I double-check my seat number again. It's in and out. It doesn't stick. It doesn't mean a lot to me. I can see a commercial on TV and be all pumped up to lose weight, and 2 hours later be sitting in the drive-thru at Dairy Queen. It happened on Friday night. I promise you. I can go into the kitchen, get something to drink. 20 minutes later, I have no drink. But I've opened the mail, played with the dog, and talked to Drew about his day at school. I mean, we don't have built-in follow-through power on things sometimes. So we lapse into our routines very quickly, which kind of highlights the importance of our routines, actually. I love Bible verses that begin with the words, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." You can almost see the Bible telling us, "I know you got things on your mind. Slow down for a minute and give me your undivided attention on this point, because it's going to be important." Well, are we the same way with our spiritual adherence? Our behavioral issues our number one concern? The story of a little boy who's talking to his dad. He's going to teach his dad a lesson. And he asked his dad, "Dad, if there's 5 frogs sitting on a log and one decides to jump off, how many are left on the log?" And dad goes, "Well, you know, little Johnny, we've understood through our math that we've taught you that 5 minus 1 is 4. So I'd say that there's 4. The answer's 4. There's 4 frogs left on the log." He goes, "Nope, Dad, wrong. There's still 5. "Well, how do you figure?" "I didn't say that one frog jumped off the log. I said that one frog decided to jump off the log. There's a difference between deciding to do something and actually doing it." If you're here Wednesday night, Dave Craven's invitation was perfectly suited for this point. There's a very real phenomenon called the intent behavior gap, and that simply means that we don't always do what we intend to do. Intentions are great. You got to have them, but they're not the means to an end. They don't automatically come with the motivational horsepower to actually follow through with our actions. So what gets in our way? What causes us to forget God's and the things that he would have us to do? In Blake's scripture reading this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 8, did you hear how many times the word "forget the Lord your God" was used in those short verses? 3 times. The whole chapter talked about how God had taken care of them and how blessed they were. And you'd think these people are nuts if they forget. How could they forget God? Well, when you point the finger, you've got more pointing at you, and sometimes I think we do the same thing. God's blessed us in many ways, but sometimes we can still let things get in the way of serving him. Looking at some of these things that get in our way kind of reminds me of Brian's lesson a month ago with the irresponsible ifs. Do you remember that? It was about a month ago, where if only condition fill in the blank, XYZ, were different, then I'd serve you better, Lord. Our lives can resemble, if we're not careful, the soil among the thorns where the cares of the world take over and they just bury our good intentions in the ground. Happened to Demas. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10 says he loved the present world too much, so it's possible that it could happen to us too. So let's turn our attention for some solutions to the adherence problems. Could it be that we are dying by degrees? We all know the story of the frog who was initially placed in some room temperature water, and that temperature was slowly increased over, I don't know, maybe 30 minutes or an hour or whatever, that doesn't matter, but the temperature was increased so slowly that the frog never had the impetus to jump out of that water because he never thought he was in danger. And by the time the temperature was high enough to kill him, that's exactly what happened. That can be happening to us spiritually as well. Just like a diabetic doesn't go from initial symptoms of pre-diabetes to have their foot amputated, we don't go from being on fire for the Lord spiritually, to total rejection just overnight. I mean, and thankfully, these things usually happen fairly slowly, so we have time to intervene. But it's possible that our spiritual downhill slide could look something like this. We just begin by praying less often. Maybe we view worship as something we check off a list. Then maybe we skip going to the work group meetings. Then, you know, we're here, but we're among the last ones to arrive and the first ones to leave. Then maybe we stop coming on Wednesday nights. Maybe we start studying less often. We find ourselves lacking the inner devotion we once had. You can almost see the downhill slope as we go down the list. We start preferring worldly friends over our Christian family. We stop attending on Sunday nights. We rarely pray. We never read or study the Bible. And finally, we end up in a complete abandonment mode. And I'm glad each one of these changes does not occur overnight. But each of these points along the way are designed to get our attention, but we need to act on them when we notice. And a guy I know named Roger Shouse would call those points on the line that we hit guardrails. Those guardrails are there for a reason. Adherence and guardrails go hand in hand. If you're adherent to what you need to be doing, the guardrails won't come into play very often. But if they do, if you slip a little bit, pay attention to the guardrail. Let it do its job and get us back on course. They serve a purpose, and they could help us to not die by degrees. We can also help beat non-adherence by helping each other. Alan recently spoke about a prevailing thought that we have in our society, and that's, I can help myself. It's a self-help mentality. I check my, and I'm guilty of this. I kind of like the self-checkout lanes in the stores and stuff. I don't. It's faster. I can do. I don't have to rely on anybody. I don't have to wait in line. But there's a danger to that, is that we can kind of become a little too isolated, a little too independent, and not rely on each other like we should. There's a room full of people here that is our family, and we need to rely on one another. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 reminds us that as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, but especially to who? People in the room, especially to those of the household of faith. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. Immediately after being told to cling or to adhere to what is good, the passage tells us to be kindly affectionate toward one another. In brotherly love, honor, giving preference to one another. In one of Ryan's lessons, he made an interesting point. He said Jesus did a lot of amazing things during his time on the earth, and most certainly he did. But it's the simple things that basically anyone can do that can almost, in a way, be the most inspiring. He talked about Jesus taking the time to talk to people. He talked about Jesus giving people second chances. He talked about how Jesus was a friend to people. So our involvement and participation in doing these kinds of things will help the adherence not only of us, but because we're doing something positive, but it rubs off on the recipient too. Encouragement and those type of things are a two-way street. Craig often prays about receiving and giving encouragement. I listen. And it's so true. The giver ends up just benefiting just as much as the recipient. We can help each other. We're here for each other. We may be able to curb non-adherence just by using simple reminders. Sometimes we overlook the obvious. Maybe it works with medications. There's little countdown devices you can stick on the lid of your bottle, like a little stopwatch, if you will. If you take something twice a day, it'll start at 12 hours and count down to zero and beep at you when it hits zero. Remind you that you need to take your medication. There's pill organizers, Monday, week ones, month ones, whatever. You can, in an organized way, do things that can help your adherence to your medication. So is it that crazy of an idea that we couldn't do something like that for our spiritual life as well? We forget. We procrastinate. We saw the list of things that get in the way of our intentions and our behaviors a while ago. It may take us some time to get out of our comfort zone and establish new habits, but I think we can use reminders to help us get there. I often tell Janelle, don't tell me anything important in the car that I need to do because I can't write it down at that moment and I'll forget it by the time we get home. I'm personally a sticky note guy. Some of the new age people do electronic, you know, versions of that, but I like sticky notes. I mean, I need a reminder to wake up every day. It's called an alarm clock. It's okay to use that. If I didn't, I'd be fired. Kramer tried that on an episode of Seinfeld one time. Didn't work out too well for them either. You can't just say, I think I'd like to wake up at 6 in the morning. And if you're like me, you sleep past then. Tie a string around your finger, whatever works. Put a memory verse on your bathroom mirror. Set an alarm if you have to go spend 30 minutes reading the Bible. Jot it down on a piece of paper, sticky note, to call a widow this week. That's just not Tom and John's job. That's everybody. But the more specific the plan, the better the follow-through. Most importantly, reaffirming our commitment to God will help our adherence. There's a story about a hen and a pig, so it sounds like it's made up. And they're walking down the street together, and they run across a church building that's got a sign out front. And the sign says, "What can we do to help the poor?" That's a good question. And the hen immediately goes, "Well, I think we could feed them bacon and eggs. That'd be a great thing for us to do." You may see where this is headed. The pig goes, "Hold on there, Turbo. Did you realize what you just said?" He's like, "To feed the poor bacon and eggs from you only takes a contribution. For me, it takes total commitment." And I think sometimes we confuse contribution and commitment. Similar in some ways, yeah. Vastly different in other ways, you better believe it. Nancy, I'll give you $5 to contribute to the flower fund for the upcoming funeral, but when it comes to actually attending the funeral, where I know the family needs me there, I know they need my support, it would mean a lot for us to be there. That's after work. On Friday night, I'm going to be tired. I don't know. I'm just not going to go to it. Contribution, commitment. Lord, I'll give you every Sunday morning. Give you every one of them. Wednesday night, I don't know. I work till 6:30. It takes a half hour to get here. I might be late. We're going to have to drive two cars. My kid's going to get to bed 27 minutes later than he normally does on an other school night, and I don't want them to be grumpy on Thursday, but I don't think I can make it. I'll do better on Sunday nights, though. Sometimes you run errands on Sunday afternoon, and it's busy. You're catching up for the weekend. You're preparing for Monday. Tonight's the Super Bowl. Man. I know I could tape it, but, you know, on the way home from work, I'm going to get a text. On the way home from church, I'd get a text message. I'll log on to Facebook. I'll hear it on the radio. I'll find out the score before I get home. And my only choice is to watch it live. I'm not going to be able to be here tonight. Well, today is not Super Bowl Sunday. Today is the Lord's Sunday that happens to have the Super Bowl played on. We need to be here tonight. We should want to be here tonight. Commitment versus contribution. We're never really committed to things that we don't value. But when we're committed to God and His truth, when we're committed to family, when we're committed to purity, when we're committed to souls, we don't have to decide whether we're in the mood to do something fruitful. We don't have to wonder if we should give it our best. We won't live by default, but we'll live with deliberate awareness of our actions. We'll feel satisfaction that we're redeeming the time, and we'll know what it is to seek first the kingdom of God. We sang that this morning. Do you live it? We actually sing a lot about adherence. I don't know if you think about that when you sing. As a song leader, I tend to do that maybe more than most. Trevor led some songs on this list this morning, and I appreciate him doing that. Maybe it's because I sent him the list. I said, "Hey, buddy, you don't have to pick these, but here's some ideas. Dump." But each day I'll do a golden deed. Blessed are they who do his commandments. Dare to stand. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. We sang that. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow will follow his footprints wherever they go. Give me the Bible. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. I'm pressing on the upward way. I'm resolved to not linger in the things of the world, but cleave to what's good. I surrender all. I want to be a worker. To the harvest fields I'll gladly go in the service of my King. Live for Jesus, O my brother, his disciple ever be. None of self and all of thee. Seek ye first. Sowing the seed, we sang that one. Standing on the promises. Take time to be holy. Speak off with thy Lord. Let's pray. If I walk in the pathway of duty, I'll see the great King in his beauty when I've gone the last mile of the way. The World's Bible, a song we don't often sing, but it's kind of a scary song. What if the type is crooked? What if the print is blurred? Is my life what it needs to be to those who see me living? Trust and obey. We'll work till Jesus comes. Where he leads, I'll follow. Yield not to temptation. You kind of get the point. we could have titled this lesson a lot of different things. Non-adherence could be killing us. The if-thens of adherence and non-adherence. The intent-behavior gap. Are we dying by degrees? Contribution versus commitment. I put this stuff together because it's important for me personally to improve on these things. And maybe it's good for you too. Just like pulling weeds helps me to think about a receptive heart, hopefully. Taking medication in the future will prompt you to think about spiritual adherence. There's an acronym I've been seeing a lot lately, and I'll close with this. It's called YOLO. It may have been around for a while, but just the fact that I've been seeing it now just means that I'm just kind of catching up to cool. some of you might know what it means, but it stands for You Only Live Once. Usually when we hear that or see that term, it's kind of got a worldly context to it. Do whatever makes you feel good. Do whatever you want. Take chances. Say yes. After all, you only live once. Do what feels good. Do whatever you want. And I actually like that acronym. But this morning I like to think about the truth about YOLO is we better get it right first time. Because we do only live once. We can't wait till tomorrow to take care of what we need to take care of today. Because God is long-suffering, but he's not eternally patient. If he was eternally patient, there would have been no flood. There would have been no fall of the nation of Israel. There'd be no need for a place that the Bible calls hell if God was eternally patient. Long-suffering, yes. Eternally patient, no. When will the patience end? I don't know. You may be here this morning and you're not yet baptized for the remission of sins. Maybe you're like that frog who's decided to jump off the log, but there's still a gap between your intentions and your behavior. Maybe you're here, and hearing something about your non-adherence has troubled you enough that you want to request prayers for strength, and that would be a great time to take care of that now, too. It's important to start the race. It's equally important to finish the race. We can help you this morning. We ask you to come to the front while we stand and sing the song.